Welcome to the audio tutorial series by Rapid Learning Center. In this audio tutorial, we will discuss the science of biology. By completing this tutorial, you will learn about what biology is, the basic underlying theories of biology, the diversity of life, will be introduced to the branches of biology, and finally, the scientific method used to the study of biology will be introduced. Biology is the study of living organisms. Life is defined as the ability to reproduce, have an organization, be able to maintain homeostasis, have the ability to grow. Living things require energy and are able to respond to stimuli. Biology makes observations about the functions and the structure of an organism. Organisms today are defined by three-domain theory, that is, they consist of the archaea, the bacteria, and the eukaryota domains. Previously, they were considered to be broken up into prokaryotes and eukaryotes. The objectives of biology. Biology is the study of life. Let's talk some about the objectives. Biology makes observations about organisms from the most tiny, like bacteria and viruses, to large things like trees. It includes single-cell organisms, bacteria, viruses, and huge multicellular organisms. Biology attempts to understand how organisms function on all levels of order, from the molecular level to the organ system level. To be living and to be studied in biology requires some degree of organization. Even on the single cell level, like bacteria and viruses, they're organized. Their genetic information may be organized into genes and compartmented into chromosomes, or even be organized into organelles, which function to localize certain biological processes. Examples of cellular organization include organelles like mitochondria that centralize energy production for the cell. In eukaryotes, cells are further organized into additional membrane-bound organelles like the nucleus. Complex organisms may have organ systems like kidneys. Let's now talk about the different branches of biology. Branches of biology can either be classified by their function or by the questions they're asking, their objectives. Let's take an example of classification by function. Anatomy, it studies the structure of living things. Genetics, how information is transmitted from one generation to the next. Ecology, how a group of living organisms interact not only with each other, but with their environment as well. And physiology, how a body functions. These are classifications based on the function. Another way to classify branches of biology is to classify it by its objectives or the questions it's asking. Microbiology, it studies tiny living things, microbes. Botany studies plants. Zoology is interested in animals. Anthropology's focus is human beings and their environments. Marine biology is the study of organisms living in the oceans. And cell biology is the study of individual cells. Life sciences biology. What are the common features of living organisms? Well, living organisms are able to respond to stimuli. They're able to reproduce. Living organisms require a certain level of organization. They also must maintain internal homeostasis. They live, grow, and develop, and there is an essential requirement for energy. The energy can be in different forms depending on the organisms. For instance, a phototroph would use light or photosynthesis for its energy source. There are four basic theories that underline the study of biology. Now, biology has many, many theories, but essentially these four theories are considered the underpinning of other theories in biology. What are these four major theories that much of modern biology is based on? The first is gene theory. Gene theory states that genes are coding for heritable properties that can be transmitted to offspring. The next theory is cell theory. That is, it states that all living things are made up of individual or discrete cells. Homeostasis is the third theory. This says that organisms have the ability to maintain a relatively stable internal environment. And finally, there is the theory of evolution, which states that the fittest will survive. Now, in evolution, fittest does not mean the organism that can run the fastest or jump the highest. What fitness refers to is the ability to procreate. So, if an organism can reproduce, it is considered fit. No matter how fast or how efficient an organism, if it can't reproduce offspring, then it is not considered fit. Let's look at these theories individually in more detail. Cell theory states that all known organisms are made up of individual cells, and that new cells arise from pre-existing cells. That means that no cell is automatically generated. It doesn't just pop up de novo. The cell is considered the basic structure and functional unit of all living things. Cells come from pre-existing cells. So, for instance, in the bone marrow, it produces what's known as a stem cell. These stem cells can then mature and become a variety of other cells within the body. Another aspect of modern cell theory states that energy flow, that is, metabolism and the biochemistry, occurs within the cell. There are two exceptions to modern cell theory. The first is that viruses are considered by some to be alive, living, yet they're not made up of cells. The second exception is that the first cell in evolution did not arise from a pre-existing cell. Let's turn our attention now to gene theory. Gene theory states that all genetic information is stored in DNA as genes, and that genes are the unit of inheritance. It states that traits are passed from one generation to the next in discrete units. DNA may be transcribed into RNA and then translated into protein. A gene is a piece of nucleic acid that has the information necessary to make a functional RNA product. This is done in a regulated process. In cells, genes consist of long strands of DNA that have a promoter. The promoter controls the activity of the gene and its expression. When the coding sequence is being copied, this is called transcription. This makes an RNA copy of the genetic information. This information is then translated into a protein. However, there are some RNAs that are used directly, not as a genetic information. In this case, the RNA is used as part of the ribosomes. The third important theory is the theory of evolution, founded by Charles Darwin. According to his theory, all living organisms are descended from species that lived before them. It is believed that natural selection is the driving force for evolution, and that all living organisms must struggle for existence. It also states that organisms must be able to adapt to their environment, and that the better adapted individual or species survive. When some organism or gene evolves, it is a change in the inherited traits of a population. Mutations in genes can make new or altered traits. This results in heritable differences between individuals and ultimately evolution. Natural selection is the process that causes heritable traits that are helpful to survival and reproduction to become more common. In this process, traits that are harmful or bad for an individual or species will become less and less frequent. This happens because organisms that carry the positive trait, when passed on to their offspring, they have a selective advantage. Over many generations, adaptations occur through a combination of small changes, often through mutation or other natural selection processes. Another process is genetic drift. Genetic drift produces random changes in the frequency of traits in a population. Genetic drift comes from the elements of chance that are involved when an individual is successful in reproducing. The final theory is the theory of homeostasis. Homeostasis means resistance to change. All organisms have the ability to maintain a relatively constant internal environment, such as water and salt concentrations, blood glucose concentrations, body temperature, and organismal pH. The purpose of homeostasis is to ensure proper function of the body and better adaptation. When homeostasis fails, it can be very serious, and a person or organism may become sick and even die. Let's turn our attention to the diversity of life, life's classification and nomenclature. Life comes in many forms, from invisible bacteria to huge whales. Originally, organisms were classed in two main categories or domains. They were either considered prokaryotes, where they had no membrane-bound organelles or nucleus, or eukaryotes, which consisted of organisms or cells having membranes, such as a nucleus, mitochondria, and a plasmic reticulum. This has now evolved into three domains of life. Originally, two forms were categorized, prokaryotes and eukaryotes, based solely on the presence of membrane-bound organelles. But with the advent of DNA technology, a bacteria that had been classified as a prokaryote turned out to be really different on the DNA level. So, since it really didn't fit with prokaryotes and it really didn't fit with eukaryotes, another domain was created, that is, the archaea domain. The archaea bacteria, because they look like bacteria, have genetics of both eukaryotes and prokaryotes, but interestingly, it also has genes that are found in neither prokaryotes or eukaryotes. It is believed that the archaea bacteria are the most primitive forms of life on the planet. Archaea look like bacteria. They are unicellular organisms having a rod, spiral, and marble-like shapes, similar to bacteria. Archaea do share some genes with bacteria, so they do have similar functions in many aspects. Archaea get their name because they are believed to be the least evolved form of life on Earth, and archaea means ancient. The ability of some of these bacteria to live in environmental conditions similar to that is believed to exist on early Earth is an indication of the ancient heritage of this domain. Taxonomy, science of classification. So we've discussed the domain system that today, residually, many people still talk about the two-domain system, that is prokaryotes and eukaryotes. However, the three-domain system is currently the accepted form, which is prokaryotes, eukaryotes, and archaea. The domains are further classified into kingdoms, phylum, class, order, family, genus, and species levels. You can remember this by this mnemonic: King Philip come over for good sports. Using the first letter of each word, the order kingdom, phylum, class, order, family, genus, species arises. There are five kingdoms for all living organisms. These kingdoms are Monera, for bacteria. They are single-celled prokaryotes. Protista, for example, seaweeds and amoeba. They can be single-celled or multi-celled eukaryotes. The third kingdom is fungi, such as baking yeast and mushroom. They are also single-celled or multicelled eukaryotes. The fourth kingdom, plantae, such as maple trees, plants. They are multicelled autotrophs who can perform photosynthesis to acquire energy for life. The fifth kingdom is animalia, for example, animals, dogs, cats, and so forth. They are multicelled heterotrophs and capable of movement. Each living organism is classified into one of these five kingdoms. Remember that these organisms may be further categorized by phylum, class, order, family, genus, and species underneath the kingdom level. For instance, a human could be classified as kingdom Animalia, phylum Chordata, class Mammalia, order Primates, family Hominidae, genus would be Homo, and the species would be Sapiens. Nomenclature and taxonomy. Each living thing has its own specific scientific name that's based on its genus and species. This kind of naming is referred to as binomial nomenclature. 2. Binomial. Binomial nomenclature was developed by Linnaeus. The binomial genus species name for humans is Homo sapiens. For a sunflower, it would be Helianthus radula. Next, we'll discuss the branches of biologies. There are many branches, but this part of the tutorial will focus on molecular, cell, organismal, and population biology. Branches of biology are often based on the type of organisms or groups of organisms being studied, although it may also be based on the types of questions being asked. For instance, a microbiologist will study microbes, very small living organisms, which can be either single cell or multicellular. However, an epidemiologist also studies small microbes and will ask different questions, such as, do they cause disease? How is the disease spread in a population? So both the kinds of questions being asked, as well as the kind of organism being studied, will define an area or branch of biology. Molecular biology. Molecular biology is the study of how biomolecules interact with each other, particularly the molecules involved in the transmission and translation of genetic information. Biochemistry is the study of the chemical basis of life, and genetics is the study of the inheritance at various levels, molecular, cellular, individual, and population. These are all at the molecular level. So molecular biology, biochemistry, and genetics could all follow under the molecular level of study. The cell level of study includes cell biology, cell physiology, anatomy, and histology. In cell biology, individual cell structure, cell cycles, cell function, and its biochemistry, as well as other questions, are addressed. In physiology, the study of mechanical, physical, and biochemical functions of living organisms are studied. In anatomy, it studies the structure and organization of living organisms, such as entire bodies of humans, animals, and so forth. And finally, histology, which is the study of cells and tissues on the microscopic level. Biology on the organism level. The fields that are included under the organism level of study include developmental biology, botany, zoology, microbiology, and others. Developmental biology is the study of how individual organisms grow, develop, and procreate. Botany is the study of plants. Zoology, the study of animals. And microbiology is the study of microorganisms such as virus, bacteria, and other organisms. The study of biology on the population level, also known as population biology. These fields include population genetics, which is the study and the distribution and changes in genes among various groups. Ecology is the study of organisms interacting with each other and their environment. And finally, on the population level, evolution may be studied, which is the study of how organisms acquire and inherit traits from their ancestors. In this next phase, we'll discuss the science of the study of biology, including theory and hypothesis. The scientific process. Science is not a linear process, rather, it's more loopy. An individual makes an observation. These observations generate questions. The questions lead to a hypothesis. A hypothesis is tested and data gathered. Trends and patterns are recognized. New conclusions are formed. These conclusions lead to new hypotheses and more experiments. The data and information is communicated and validated. Ultimately, a model is formed. Defining theory and law. A theory attempts to explain an observed behavior. For instance, DNA transmits or carries all genetic information. A law describes or categorizes behavior, often mathematically. Let's compare theory and law. A theory explains why something happens. A law explains what happens. A why cannot become a what. Let's define prediction and hypothesis. A hypothesis is not just an educated guess. It is a proposal to explain certain facts or observations. A hypothesis enables prediction by deductive reasoning. A hypothesis is more than an educated guess. It also attempts to explain why something happens. In summary, the branches of biology are based on the organism as well as the questions being asked. Biology is the science of life. Hypothesis attempts to explain why something happens. Domains of biology: prokaryote, eukaryote, and archaea. Branches of biology include molecular biology, cell, organism, and population levels. Questions review. Biology is the science of life. Biology is the science of life. The three domains of life include prokaryote, eukaryote, and blank. Archaea. A theory attempts to explain why. A theory attempts to explain why something happens. Branches of biology are determined by the organism and the questions being asked. The taxonomic method of naming is called binomial nomenclature. Congratulations on completing this audio tutorial on the science of biology. For more audio and visual tutorials in biology, go to www.rapidlearningcenter.com. Thank you.